Scripture, Psalm 100. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before him with shouts of joy. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture. Enter his gates with thanks. Enter his courtyards with praise. Thank him, bless his name, because the Lord is God. His loyal love lasts forever. His faithfulness lasts generation after generation.
Please join me in prayer. God, our great creator, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the question that we approach this morning is one that perhaps many of us have come up against in our own experiences of being involved in the church. Why should I be going to church? For some of us, perhaps, who grew up in church, we may have carried an attitude of it being an annoying obligation to go to church that our parents demanded or required or expected of us. And this is a generational story, something that many people have experienced in their relationship with the church. I know when I was growing up, we didn't necessarily have a hard rule of needing to go to church every week, but we did go most weeks. And every once in a while, one or two of us might wake up just a little bit earlier than normal and convince everyone else to skip church to go across the river and drive through the Les Hills in western Iowa, or to go hiking at the local wildlife refuge. Or for my mom, many years before me, who grew up in the Methodist Church, had a much stricter family expectation of needing to attend every week, no exceptions, unless maybe there was a calf being born. She did grow up on a ranch, just to make that clear. And she also grew up about 3 hours south of the Black Hills in South Dakota. And very, very rarely would her dad yell up the stairs before church, "Who wants to go to the hills instead of church this morning?" I promise that was a very reliable way to get 5 kids out of bed. And for as much as I loved those mornings of being able to skip church and explore the world with my family, there was always a reminder of how essential and central the church that I grew up in was for my formation in faith and for what it would meant to be growing up in that kind of supportive community. I have a lot of stories, and I'm sure many of you do as well. And I'm sure at some point down the road, those will be shared, of the church that I was raised in and how essential it was in nurturing my own call to ministry. And the one that I share this morning, though, is one of the realities of that essential nature of this community that started well before I was walking, well before I have any memory of it. So my family moved from Omaha to Blair, which is a bedroom community about 20 miles north of Omaha, right around the time that I was born. And that was also around the same time that my parents were getting involved with this church, the only Methodist church in the community. And that was in part a proactive step to be planning and scheduling my twin and my baptism just a few months after we were born. So my dad had been raised Catholic, and for most of his adult life, and certainly by the time that my parents moved to Blair, he was really not involved in church or faith life, or if he could help it. He did, however, join the Methodist Church when my parents got married because my mom asked him to. So brownie points for that. But joining the church did not mean that he would go regularly. He was very much an Easter or Christmas, not both, one or the other. But at the time that my parents joined this church, there was, of course, a lead pastor, But it was also the last point in this church's history that it was healthy and wealthy enough to have an associate pastor. So there was a gentleman by the name of A.K. Saul who was serving in retirement as the pastoral care associate pastor. And A.K. was really excellent at the work that he was called to and the work that he did. So right around the time that my twin brother and I were born, my dad got really sick, and he was sick for a long time, and they couldn't figure out, and it took months and months for the VA and his care team to figure out what was going on. And he was sick enough that he quit smoking because he was not strong enough to step from the couch in the living room 15 feet outside to smoke. So it was a long period of time where they didn't know what was going on. And in all of that time, Pastor AK came to visit once in a while. And he did that work, and he loved to care for people. And where he excelled, at least with my dad, was that he was not trying to convince him to show up to church more often. And he wasn't looking to get my dad to convert to the fullness of what he believed in. So remember that piece that my dad was raised Catholic. He was about this close to joining the priesthood before he joined the Marines for Vietnam. So he's somebody who could talk about theology to the end of time. And that is all that he did with AK, was ask the questions and have the conversations and explore what it means to be people, what it means to be people of God, people of faith, what it means to love our neighbors. And that's what AK did for him. He was present and available to chat, to laugh, to ask questions, to share that space and the experience of that wisdom that comes with just being among people. And that is such a gift that the church has. There are so few public spaces, public encounters where we are encouraged to know our neighbors and be in space with them, connecting and encountering one another in curiosity and in mutual respect and in knowing and growing together. I wonder how many of you might have stories like that, of community showing up and of developing those connections among people, or of developing those nurturing relationships across generations. I know there's about 15 people that I can name from the church that I grew up in who were your ages, who were formative in shaping me. But I'd also imagine that the majority of the stories that you all might share would be about the people in the church and very rarely related to just the activity of the pastor. For so many, the church has been a transformative force, a transformative place of connection in its own right, and not just in the development of faith, but in what it means to be people and shaped as humans. And that's kind of the magic of community, of connection. Over the generations, there has been an established rhythm of church life throughout individual lifetimes, right? We are born and raised in the church, and we go to Sunday school, and then at young adulthood, we leave for college and come into that time of self-exploration and stepping away from the church and from faith. And then when young adults have settled down and stepped into parenthood, they return to the church to raise their own children. Does that sound familiar? There's a few nods, okay. But we also know, and the research tells us, that this pattern isn't reality anymore. And it really hasn't been for the last 20 or 30 years. This shift in particular has been magnified in recent years. Not just trickles of people and family leaving church activity and church life, but floods leaving the mainline denominations. And that was made even more dramatic by the COVID-19 pandemic, which both isolated us from community and clearly demonstrated the negative effects of not having regular moments of connection. and those really essential precautions that we took. Social distancing, isolation, virtual work and school, creating those safety bubbles, all essential and necessary in protecting each other. And at the same time, what they did in part was reinforce the reality that we are not creatures that are made to be separate from one another, or separate from community, or separate from connection. Because community with God and community with others is hardwired into our DNA. Now, Psalm 100 was originally written as a hymn to be sung by the people of Israel as they entered the temple of Jerusalem. Imagine traveling for miles and miles through a desert on foot and then standing at the bottom of this mountain, Temple Mount, waiting to climb the stairs that lead to the only place that you believed God's presence was revealed on earth. Can you imagine how excited and overwhelmed you might be, and that almost electric pulsing, coursing through your body of, this is the moment where I get to be where God is. This hymn was the means by which the people expressed their joy and their excitement as they climbed to the temple. And it is full of those imperative words, those action directives. We shout, we worship, we praise. The people were commanded to express all of this with passion in community, as voices lifted together. This passionate and life-changing event and encounter of God at this place of worship is something that A, doesn't, and B, cannot happen individually. It happens together, with God's people experiencing God's goodness together. And the weight that the scripture places on community does not end simply in how we learn about those ancient Jewish traditions and in the Hebrew scriptures ending. We see this infinite emphasis on the importance of community throughout the New Testament as well, particularly in the letters from Paul to the various early Christian communities and churches. So much of his emphasis is around why it is so essential to be invested in community, living into those images of the body of Christ. And his use of that term is rooted precisely in what we find in Psalm 100, that we together are the temple of the Holy Spirit, not you and not I, but we. And we experience God in and through each other. So those questions that we might consider for ourselves and for us together, what we carry with us from this space and reflect on. Has the community of God been a blessing for you? And has the community hurt you or made you feel like an outsider? Psalm 100 proclaims that we are called to enter this place together with joy and with passion. And you have been called to this place. And we have been called the people of God. Community with one another and community with God. Amen.